Word of
mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. Birds in New England are most commonly associated with spring, but as birdwatcher Eric Masterson explains, there are plenty of species that brave the winter weather and live here year-round. Eric is protection specialist with the Harris Center for Conservation Education and author of Birdwatching in New Hampshire. That's a hyper-local guide to the best birding spots and events the state has to offer. Eric, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Taylor. Thanks for having me.
So it is starting to feel a little more like winter every day. You know, temperatures are dropping. Many parts of the region have had their first dusting of snow. So before we touch on the species that do stick around, is it too late to catch any birds that have yet to migrate?
It's kind of on the tail end of it, yeah. I live in the Monadnock region, so we have winter come a little bit earlier to us. We had a little bit more than a dusting. So that clears the birds out. And so the ones that are left are ones that can survive in a, you know, freshwater birds don't do well when the water freezes. And so if they can transition to a marine environment, so any birds that can live out their life on the salt water do well. So like common loons, they head to the salt water. So you'll see them in New Hampshire off the coast, but not inland. Seed eaters, so birds that can feed on mast that has fallen to the forest floor, like grouse and turkeys, sparrows. And then scavengers, you know, the birds that do well around humans, like starlings and sparrows, they stay around. But insect eaters, birds that rely on fresh water, not so good. If you're a kingfisher trying to dive into a pond to catch fish and it's frozen, not so good for
you. Yeah, you're going to get a lot thinner.
Yeah.
So how come if there are so many birds that do reside in the state year-round, how come we don't hear them as much? It seems like birdsong is something associated so much with springtime, you know, that the whole air erupts with birdsong. But in the winter, I feel like I don't hear it as much. But maybe
you're absolutely right. So birds, so you just take a cardinal, for instance, and a cardinal has a number of different call notes that it uses, and then it has a song. And songs are just used in the summer to attract a mate and defend a territory. And if you're not doing that, you don't want to advertise your presence to predators. So they leave out the songs in the winter, pretty much. You can occasionally hear songs in the winter, but pretty much they're left out. And they just use call notes to keep in touch with each other or to sound an alarm, like a chickadee dee dee dee, the chickadee's alarm call. That the number of D's in the chickadee dee dee is a function of how high the threat level is. So they'll use those, but they won't sing because they just don't want to attract predators.
So four or five D's is like
not good.
The red alert.
Yeah, right.
So this is a very strange question. You mentioned the different things that winter birds are able to eat, seeds especially, you mentioned. We were talking back in our pod, we were talking about when we've seen birds that are eating trash. You know, this is something that sometimes I've seen in the winter times where birds seem to be basically dumpster diving.
Mm-hmm.
And we were wondering, now, is that a very bad thing? And what is that doing?
Well, it was when I think of dumpsters, I think of landfills. And landfills are a disappearing feature of our landscape. There used to be a lot more. So, for instance, if you went back 20 years, there were thousands of gulls in the Keene area because Keene had a landfill. It doesn't anymore. The trash outside of landfills, clearly trash. You know, if you go to a cafe and have a scone, you'll see the little sparrows, English sparrows, down around the table picking up crumbs. It's not bad for them. I mean, if there's a a place where a lot of birds congregate, like a landfill, it can be a place where disease is transmitted more easily because there's a lot of birds in close proximity. So you do get outbreaks of things like botulism in communities where there's a lot of birds. But in general, no. But they're disappearing anyway. So landfills, which are the big dumpsters, they're going. There's only a few left in the state.
Okay, well, let's get back to which birds are still around in the winter. So any rare birds specifically that we should be keeping an eye on this time of year?
Well, last winter, folks may remember, we had this incredible once-in-a-hundred-year invasion of snowy owls because there was a very successful breeding season for lemmings in the Arctic, which in turn supported a very successful year for snowy owls. And so there is probably still more snowy owls. That massive peak in the population probably hasn't returned entirely to normal, and there's probably going to be an elevated number of snowies this year. Some years they're quite scarce, so I expect there'll be a good year. I've already seen one, and there's been a couple around the state.
Where did you see it?
Out on Star Island.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that was sort of the prime breeding ground before?
No, they don't breed anywhere close to here. They don't breed south of there. They breed north of the tree line, so way up in Arctic tundra, in the tundra in Canada. So nowhere closer than Quebec, northern Quebec. But they winter here in you know, regularly, but in very fluctuating numbers, as we've seen.
And aside from the owls, do any birds migrate specifically to the region for the wintertime?
Oh, totally, yeah. So there's a sparrow. A lot of our sparrows, so even though sparrows eat seed, even seed eaters find it tough going in the winter, and they pretty much, they're still here, but their numbers are reduced. So a lot of sparrows can be scarce in the winter. But there's one species that comes in exclusively for the winter called the American tree sparrow. And it breeds, again, north of us in Canada, and is quite common in the winter. And they've just started arriving in the last couple of weeks, so they're a late migrant.
I've always imagined birdwatching to be an activity that requires a great deal of patience. Sometimes a lot of sitting around, I would think,
Totally.
waiting for the moment to happen. Does the cold weather make it harder for those like yourself who are especially looking for those rare sightings?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, I am. Cold, and especially, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the birds congregate at the coast because it's where the water remains open, and cold is even colder when you throw in wind coming in off the ocean. So it can be really bitter, yeah. So I'm waiting for the perfect car to be developed that has glass windshield that's flat so it doesn't cause spherical problems when you look through. If you look through a regular car windshield with binoculars,
everything's distorted.
So I want the perfect car that has a sunroof, a flat windshield, so you don't have to get out of your car and brave the elements.
Well, I'll let you know if I see one.
Right.
As a birder, is a large part of the thrill seeing something rare, or do you appreciate all birds, regardless of how common they may be? Like, do you still get a kick when you catch a glimpse of a wild turkey or, a city pigeon?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I liken bird watching from a cultural perspective to it's a very large tent. And in that tent, there are people who enjoy birds on so many different levels. And there are listers. There was this movie last year, I think it was last year or the year before, The Big Year, which described one particular subculture of birding. There are people who just are interested in hawk watching. I see them every year. For a couple of days up on Packmanadnock hawk watching, and I won't see him for the rest of the year. There are other people who are just interested in gulls. So there's a lot of subcultures within this big tent. So it's really kind of fascinating. The people who the practitioners of bird watching are kind of a fascinating group of people. I myself kind of eschew rare bird chasing and listing. I'm not really interested in that.
And listing, is that when you're sort of counting the number of bird sightings? So
it's
almost like a sport.
To be honest, it is totally a sport. And it sometimes I think that there's less, that folks, that the listing subculture has more in common with stamp collecting or train spotting than it does with some other bird watchers who might be, take more of a scientific or a conservationist bent. Nothing wrong with it. It's not a subjective comment. It's just, I guess it is a subjective comment. But
but I suppose for you, as somebody who might be interested in seeing any bird, it is about the biology and the miracle of nature.
For me, I remember the last moment I that really stopped me in my tracks. I was on a boat out in the Gulf of Maine, and a flock of 50 American golden plovers flew over. And we were about 80 miles out to sea, and I know the biology of this species. It breeds across the Arctic tundra in Canada from Alaska east to Hudson Bay. And the entire population, with a few straggle down the coast, but the majority of the population leaves the North American continent from the Maritimes and flies out over the Atlantic nonstop to South America.
Wow.
And so I saw them 80 miles out to sea. I took a bearing on the direction they were going, and I knew I saw them come into my field of view from the left, travel across maybe for 30 seconds, and they were gone. I would never see them again. And I knew that they were in the midst of this multi-day migration. And that's just, for me, that's what it's about. It's just an awe-inspiring miracle.
Well, for anybody interested in getting into bird watching this coming winter, any recommendations? You mentioned Star Island. Is that a really good place to start?
Star Island's always terrific because the coast is always terrific. Coast tends to be a collecting point. Birds, a lot of species of birds avoid, unless they're clearly marine species, a lot of species of birds avoid open water. And so they tend to collect at the coast. It's like a collecting point. And so you can get higher concentrations, and then you can get odd species mixed in the mix. Higher concentrations of common birds and higher concentrations of rare birds. So coast is a good place, and Star Island is my favorite place on the coast. I go out there a lot. It's not great at this time of year because we're really, you know, there are very few birds around relative to the summer. It's much better in spring and fall. But the coast is a good time. The water still hasn't frozen yet. So a lot of the open lakes, a lot of the lakes are still, I'd say most of the lakes are still open. And waterfowl will congregate, will be pushed out of the rivers into the larger lakes where they'll roost. And so you can get migrant species and local species congregating on lakes this time of year, and you can get some neat species.
Eric Masterson is Land Protection Specialist with the Harris Center for Conservation Education and author of Birdwatching in New Hampshire. Eric, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
You're welcome.